See, the Advaiti, to establish the fact, there is only Brahma, there is no cause, there is no effect, there is no creation. He takes Veda as the primary means of knowledge. Veda Pramanam. And he is not illogical. He also uses logics intelligently to establish the fact. He all uses logics. Tarka he uses as subservient to Veda. So an Advaiti is a proper Vaidikaha. Vaidikaha means the one who takes Veda as the primary means of knowledge and using Tarka as subservient to establish what he establishes through the Veda. Whereas the so-called Astika Darshanikaha, the philosophers who are said to be Astikaha, who also accept Veda as a Pramanam, they do not accept Veda as a primary means of knowledge. Tarka is the primary source for them, logics. And Veda also, they try to fit the Veda into their views, which they established through the logics. Whereas the Nastikaha, the non-believers of the Veda, means those who do not accept Veda at all as the means of knowledge. So, no, only Tarka is the main. Tarka is the only means of knowledge for them. They hold only to Tarka. And here, who has to refute now? So, all of them, whether Astikaha or Nastikaha, all these different systems of philosophy, holding on to different theories of creation, they all accept the creation, they are all Dvaitins. Whoever accepts the creation is a Dvaiti. Who says there is a creation which is real is a Dvaiti. Therefore, here Gaudapada Acharya has to negate all the systems of philosophy. But so refuting a Sankhya is as good as refuting all the four Astikas, all the four systems of philosophy, all these four philosophers of four systems of philosophy who accept Veda. So that's why he takes only Sankhya here. I talked to you about Prathama Malla Nyaya. Prathama Malla means the champion boxer. So if you want to really knock off, if you want to be the champion boxer, you need to just fight only with the champion, you know, then defeat him and you become the champion. Similarly, instead of going and, you know, and refuting all other schools of thought who already easily get negated, refuted by Sankhya, it is only Sankhya. So here, just to, before we enter into what Gurupa Acharya wants to show through these verses, how he refutes the Sankhya philosopher. See how the Sankhya philosopher, when compared to a Nyaya philosopher, he is intelligent and he is scientific. He is logical. Who is logical, scientific, and intelligent? Sankhya philosopher. Why he is logical, scientific? Because he says, how can something non-existent, nothing become an existent thing. Therefore, what already what was there alone has come into existence. Because nothing is newly created, freshly created. Which means he is okay. He is not against science. He doesn't contradict science. He says already what was there alone has come into existence. This creation is, what is this universe? This universe is actually, you know, the origination of what was already there. This universe is originated from what was already there. Like if we take the example of a pot, what is a pot? If you say pot is a pot has originated from the clay. It is not something, it is not new thing, new creation. He'll say that. Therefore he doesn't contradict science. He's intelligent. He's logical also. But where he goes wrong is, when he applies the same rule, extends it to the entire cosmos, he's also wrong. Which means, see, let us understand the basic principles of a Sankhya philosopher. I don't know whether I told here earlier or not. See, according to a Sankhya philosopher, remember, the proponent of Sankhya philosophy is a Kapila Munihi. The Sankhyam also means knowledge. That is why we can use it. It is natural for us to mistake it for what? It's very close to Advaitam. So there is a Karanam. Nothing has come into existence newly. This was already, what is now was already there before. So before the origination, what was there is the different form of what is now. So he calls that the configuration of the previous configuration or the form of what is now as Karana Avastha. Karana Avastha. Karana Avastha means a condition of the universe in a causal form, isn't it? Karana Avastha. And later on, what is the clay is the Karana Avastha. A lump of clay is a Karana Avastha. And what about the Ghataha then? This pot, the pot also is actually, the effect is Karya Avastha. Why does he use the term Avastha? Avastha he uses because this pot was before in the Karana Avastha. Now later on, the pot is now, when you see the pot is a Karya Avastha, which means between the Karana Avastha and Karya Avastha, between the pot and the clay, there is only Avastha Bedaha. The difference is only in Avastha, the condition, the configuration, the form, but substantially there is no difference. There is no substantial difference between pot and clay. The substantially one, the clay alone, but the difference is only in configuration, the form. But what he is going to say next is fine. This is nice to, we also understand this, accept this. Then next he says, cause is eternal. There is Karanam. Okay? And he is called eternal. He is calling it eternal, nityam. Karanam nityam. Cause is eternal. The second principle. So what the first principle? Cause and effect. The effect, creation is an effect. which is a different configuration of the same cause which was there before. So between the cause and effect, there's only different. The difference is only in configuration, not in substance. And second thing is the cause is eternal. The next he says, effect is non-eternal, which means subject to change, time-bound. Anityam, karanam nityam, karyam anityam. Karanakariyor madhye natu avastha-bedha, there is only avastha-bedha, natu vastu-bedha. Sanskritam sounds like Tamil in English, isn't it? Karana karyayor madhye, between the cause and the effect, there is only avastha bedaha. The difference is only in configuration. Natu vastu bedaha. There is no, substantially there is no difference. Because substance is one. Because there is no substance called pot. If you take the pot and ask what is the sub, is pot a substance? What is the substance? There is substance called pot, isn't it? Substance is clay. But what he says next is karanam nityam. Cause is eternal. Then effect is anityam. Karyam anityam. Effect is time bound, subject to change. Anityam. So nityam, anityam. But he also says what? Therefore creation is there. Real. But now Gaudapada Acharya, to say there is no creation, he has to establish, when can you talk about the creation? Only if you can establish cause and the effect. Effect, in, you cannot talk about the creation without being able to say what is the cause, what is the effect. You can say it is an if creation, only if you say wood is the cause and this chair is the effect. So cause and effect, you must be able to say cause and effect to establish the creation. And here, now Gaudapada Acharya shows, just taking, even though there are many principles of Sankhya philosopher, taking these three principles, he points out, you know, four fallacies, defects in his theory. First he says, if the cause and the effect, as you say, O Sankhya philosopher, as you say, cause and effect, with reference to pot and clay, wooden furniture, golden chain, you know, milk and yogurt, this example is fine. If he extends this thing to the whole jagat, then he goes wrong. The whole cosmos he takes into, he brings the whole picture he wants to fit in his theory. That's the problem comes. We are going to see later on the beautiful things he is going to show in other philosophers, when he points out the fallacies in other philosophers' views also. So he says, if the effect is nothing but the cause, pot is nothing but the clay, then if you say the clay, if you say the cause is eternal, nityam, and the effect is anityam, aren't you contradicting with what you say? And he extends to the universe. How he, what does he say? The universe is a creation, effect, and the cause of this universe is what? Prakritihi Pradhanam. Prakritihi or Pradhanam is the two words used by Sankhya philosopher. There's a matter, Prakritihi or Pradhanam. And this Jagat is what now? Universe. This is the effect, creation, Karyam. And Pradhanam is Nityam. Prakritihi is Nitya. Prakritihi is eternal, Nitya. And Jagat is what? Anityam. Universe is Anityam. If the, what is the Jagat then? It's nothing but another configuration of what was there before. Which means, he is very clear in stating, clay and pot are not two different substances, two different configurations, for of which the substance is one and the one only clay. Which means pot is nothing but clay. Same thing applies here. The whole Jagat is nothing but Prakritihi. It sounds very like Advaitam, isn't it? The whole Jagat is Prakritihi. Then it's like we can sing also, Ulage Mayam. Whole Jagat is Prakritihi. Why? It is another, it's only clay alone appears as the pot. So, the Prakritihi alone is in the form of the universe. Universe is Prakritihi. Means, what happens? See the next sentence. That is okay. Cause is Nityam. So, according to him, Prakritihi Nitya. The matter, the cause of this universe is eternal. What does the word eternal mean? Has no beginning. It is beginningless, endless. If the cause is beginningless, eternal, then if the effect is nothing but the cause, effect also must be eternal. How can you say effect is nothing but the cause, and cause is eternal, and effect is non-eternal? The effect also must be eternal, isn't it? This is the first defect. He, what is it? The the error of the effect having to be the having to be the eternal, which means karya nityatva doshaha. It's the first defect. Karya nityatva doshaha. The effect also should become eternal. It cannot be non-eternal. If the cause, effect is nothing but the cause, and the cause is eternal, as he says. Isn't it true? But what does he say? Effect is non-eternal. So his own words contradict with each other. So how can he say cause is eternal, effect is nothing but cause, but effect is non-eternal? And this defect is called what? Karya nityatva doshaha. Got it? The next defect. If the cause is eternal, the effect is non-eternal, then if the cause and effect are substantially one, they're not two, then cause must become non-eternal. Isn't it true? Either both must be eternal or both must be non-eternal. Why? Because both are substantially one. But what does he say? Cause is eternal. Effect is non-eternal. The second defect is karana anityatva doshaha. Karya nityatva doshaha. First fallacy, the problem. The second is what? Karana anityatva doshaha. Then we ask, okay, how is it possible for you to say that cause and effect are substantially one, conditionally, figuratively two? Two different configurations of the only substance. The effect is nothing but the cause, but still cause alone is eternal. Effect is non-eternal. How do you arrive at this? How do you establish this? If we ask, he'll say, he arrives at this conclusion through mere inference. Why? Because here one more thing we have to understand. I told you already, there is no such thing called absolute cause at all. Absolute cause, there's no cause. So if at all you talk about the cause, and any cause is only relative. Why do you say any cause is relative? Because anything which is a cause from the standpoint of a given effect becomes an effect from the standpoint of its own cause. You can never give an example, illustration. You can never prove that this is something is absolute cause. Absolute cause means what? That which has no cause. If it has no cause means what? It cannot have beginning. A causeless, beginningless is eternal. Anything eternal is beginningless. Beginningless is uncaused, causeless. Understand? For eternal, if you use the term eternal, we have to be very careful. That which is self-existent. Self-existent means what? It is causeless. Causeless means beginningless, eternal. Self-existent means what? Beginningless. Beginningless means what? Eternal means beginningless. Beginningless means causeless. Therefore, can you say, is there anything which is beginningless, causeless, beginningless, eternal, you know, self-existent? Can you establish something here? You cannot prove. You can't give any example at all for this. Even if you talk about, okay, you can talk about the cause. Oh, this plant was once upon a time, was a seed. Again, you have to say what? From the standpoint of this particular plant, the given seed was a cause. But that seed also has originated from some other plant, which is its cause. Therefore, any seed of any plant is only a relative cause. So, whatever you see here as a cause is only relatively a cause. milk for yogurt is a relative cause. Because where has the milk come from, you have to talk about it. When you say wood is the cause of the furniture, where has the wood come from, you have to talk about it. Therefore, everything we see here, you can take the whole jagat, so anything you can take, we can talk about the causes and the effects. We can talk about the cause-effect system, but everything, you understand, cause is a relative term, effect is relative, isn't it? There's no absolute cause. It's only relative. You can give innumerable, you can give many examples available within this, you know, jagat as the creation, as what? Relative, any cause being relative. Give many examples. But can you give one example to say there is uncaused, causeless, beginningless, self-existent cause? Think. You cannot give example. Isn't it? Therefore, there is no such a thing called absolute cause. So here, Gaudapada Acharya ji brings this small, simple fact to light, you know, I mean, like that, as though bringing, okay? And he, if you ask this question, there is no such a thing called absolute cause. You cannot give even one example for this. No example is available. Nothing is available for our perception, understanding, which you can give as quote as an example. Oh, this, look at this. This is the beginningless, uncaused, you know, cause from which this has come into existence. Can you say something? He cannot give. No example available for him. Whereas to say that cause is only relative, there's no absolute cause, we can give so many examples. Whereas he cannot give even one example, not even one example to say that cause is absolute. Therefore, if you ask, how do you arrive at this? When you are not able to give even one example, which we can see and understand, how do you arrive at this conclusion that cause is eternal? And the effect is nothing but the cause, but still the effect is non-eternal. And he'll say, very carefully, yes, examples are not available. I cannot make you perceive this fact. I arrive at this conclusion through inference. Purely through inference. I infer, he says. Inference in Sanskritam is called what? Anumanam, anumitihi. That is why Sankhya system of philosophy itself is called anumanam. And here, a simple thing, question is asked. Is it possible for you to have the inferential, you know, to infer something without having any experiential perceptual data? If you want to infer anything, you need some experiential data, some perceptual data you need. So inference is dependent on perception. But he cannot give even one example. It's available for perception. But he says he arrives at the conclusion through inference. Therefore, which is illogical. Arriving at this conclusion through inference, for which he cannot provide any perceptual data, is something illogical. It is called yukti. Yukti virodha doshaha. Third defect. युक्ति विरोध दोषः. So when we say, because it is illogical, you cannot say that you arrived at this conclusion through inference, without being able to produce any perceptual data, when you negate, and he'll say what? Okay, let me accept. Cause also is non-eternal, but there is a cause. Why? He has to say that the creation is real for him. You cannot establish the creation as real unless you prove there is cause. Okay, let me accept now. When you catch him, if you say what now? Even he doesn't accept, okay? Even if we take it for granted that he accepts what? Cause is there. The cause is, okay, cause also is non-eternal. This cause is relative, even if he accepts it. Then what happens? He has to talk about another cause. If you accept that there is no absolute cause, nityam, the cause is non-eternal, the cause is relative, if he has to say. If the cause is non-eternal, then it is what? Relative. If it is relative, and he has to show what is the other cause from which this cause has come into existence. He has to talk about the cause of the cause. Then he has to go to another cause. Isn't it true? Therefore, he has to continuously, if he accepts, he doesn't accept. If we think, okay, suppose he accepts. Yes, the cause is not eternal. It is non-eternal, which means cause is also relative. Then relative means he has to talk about another cause from which this cause has come into existence. And he has to talk about, say, what is the other cause from which the other cause has come into existence? For every cause, he has to find the other cause of the cause of the cause of the cause. And because there is no absolute cause at all, and he'll end up in what now? The problem of infinite regression, which is called fourth defect, anavastha doshaha. Impossibility of being able to establish the absolute cause. Because anavastha doshaha. Okay, these are the four defects. Therefore, what has to say now finally? Therefore, means what? No, always after the finally you have to say, therefore, there is no such thing called absolute cause. Therefore, there is no such thing called effect, effect also. Therefore, there is no creation. Therefore, there is only, if there is no creation, what is this jagat then? Brahma, manifestation. So what is there if there is no jagat? If there is no jagat, then what is there? Brahma. What was there? Brahma. What is going to be? Brahma. Okay? Ever free, nityamuktam Brahma was asit. Nityamuktam Brahma is anityamuktam brahmaiva bhavishyati. This is the logical presentation. You only seen only one Sankhya philosopher. Okay? We have to see all of them. Very interesting will be Bauddha. We'll see later on. No, we have to say there is no cause at all. See, initially, I come to the point. When you say this, when you stop here like this, the doubt might come. very cleverly you are speaking like this. What about from number one text, Tattva Bodha? And afterwards, every book, in every Upanishad, there is something called Srishti Prakriya. Na? The portion of Srishti. The every Upanishad discusses the topic of Srishtihi creation. And Upanishad accepts the creation. Don't you accept the creation? If we say, yes, there is only provisional acceptance of the creation. Creation is not accepted absolutely. Why? Because initially, that's why Vedaha is called Shruti Mata, mother. Why is she called mother? Because she has to backstroke you and hug you, fondle you, make you feel comfortable, and she will give you the bitter medicine. Okay? First, she will keep you closely and hold you, and she will give you bitter medicine for what? For your own well-being. You will run away otherwise, isn't it? First, catch you and keep you and fondling you nicely, backstroke. You feel so comfortable on her, okay? Then slowly mother will do and talking to you nicely, carry when you are little, give you bitter medicine. For what? For your own well-being. Similarly, Shruti Mata also has to do what now? When you are growing and when you are born as an innocent, ignorant person and all the five senses and seeing the whole Jagat, very exciting world, all colors and lights and experiences and whatnot, how can you deny this a creation? My God, it's all mithya. There is no Jagat. If we say, you will run away from her. Come, I'll give you bitter medicine. Will you go near her? You will run away from her. So the universe also, the Shastram also says in the very beginning, when you are not prepared, when you are not at all ready, you do not know, my mother will give me the worst bitter medicine only for my own well-being. Let me go and accept it. Will you go near her? Will you run away from her? Therefore, she will not say, before you go to her, medicine is very bitter, let me give you nothing. When you are there, she will just give you. But for you to go and sit on her lap, she has to, that she has to attract. She will cuddle you and slowly backstroke you and nicely talk you. Then only. But any mother's ultimate intention is what? Intention is, she is your well-wisher. Isn't it? Well-meaning person, mother. Similarly, here also, Shruti Mata. Shruti immediately says, come on, Jagat is, there's no Jagat, there's only Brahma. It's not there. If it says, it is non-digestible abstract fact. Because we are too gross to appreciate this fact. We are so much engrossed in the enjoyment of world, experience of the world, enjoyment of pleasures here and enjoyment of pains here. And we are so much, you remain so rooted in your own, the body, mind's complex. And you are so much, you are different, the world is different, everyone is different from everyone else. You have to eat your food to appease your hunger. If I eat, it won't appease your hunger. Isn't it? We are so clear about it. And this is our understanding. And to understand much, really, the most abstract fact of there is no Jagat, there is only Brahma. If I say the example, there is no ocean, there is only water, that is acceptable for you. Even then you will ask, how do you account for ocean then? Even then you will ask, I do understand there is only water, there is no ocean, but still I experience ocean. How to account, how do you account for this ocean? And I have to say it's appearance of the water. Something I have to say. That is something, even that is something different. If you say whole Jagat is, there's no Jagat, there's only Brahma. it is something, you know, and then you are not the body, mind, sense complex. Of course, the body, mind, sense complex, not only this body, mind, sense complex, all the bodies, all the forms are you. The whole jagat is you. You are Brahma. There is only Brahma. If we say, this is the fact, of course, whether we like it or not, this is the fact. And discovering this fact alone, the accomplishment of the moksha in the form of taking ownership of moksha, which is already there, is there. So it is too much for the gross mind. This mind already we don't come to the Upanishad classes, and we'll keep the books, we won't even keep the books in the library, we'll throw them away. If the Upanishad, this is what the Upanishad says, means who wants this cock and bull story, so we'll just throw it away, we'll throw away. We'll go far away from Shastram, and Shastram does not want to be alienated. Shastram does not want to alienate you from the fact. Therefore, to keep you in good humor, it accepts your perception without denying your perception, helps you see the perception. Not so, from your standpoint, it accepts your perception, accepts the creation, and talks about the karanam, and talks about the universe as karyam, and later on helps you negate the creation. So Upanishad, please understand this very clearly. I will not repeat this, okay? This is the last time I'm repeating. This is again for you. Why do all the Upanishads discuss the topic of creation called Srishtihi? The discussion on Srishtihi is only a method of unfoldment. The teaching methodology called Prakriya, Srishti Prakriya, is otherwise called Karanakarya Prakriya. Discussion on Srishtihi is a method of unfoldment of the fact, fact that there is no creation. There is only manifestation. To help you arrive at the fact of there's no seeing, there's no creation, Upanishad discusses the creation. Not that Upanishad accepts the creation as reality. Okay? That is why Adhyaropaha, the very expression Adhyaropaha, implies what? Superimposition means what? It is not real. So superimposition means what? Okay, let us accept this universe as creation. Okay, what is this cause of the universe? Upanishad does not say universe has come into existence from Brahman, okay? Even though it says initially, Brahman is as good as the cause, effect, the universe is as good as the effect. Why? Because existence of Brahman is the existence of the universe. Therefore, you can say what? The cause of the universe is Brahman. Universe is the creation, the effect. The seeing the creation as the effect and seeing Brahman as the karanam is what? No. Actually, adhyaropaha. The superimposition. Later on, you see, what is creation is then? Any cause is like how Sankhya philosopher says, you also can say what? The effect is nothing but the cause. They are substantially, they are one, the two configurations of the only substance. When you say the whole jagat is nothing but the cause, when you say there is no effect, negation of the effect. Once you negate the effect, if there is no effect, jagat, then no effect means, and how can you talk about the cause? Therefore, you don't say there is no cause also. Which means you are negating the causal status attributed to Brahman. Then you say, what is there is only Brahma. Isn't it? This is how Adhyaropa Apavada Prakriya. Okay, the method of the superimposition and negation is used as an unfoldment, it's a matter of unfoldment of the fact that there is no creation. Because there is no cause, there is neither the cause nor the effect. Therefore, don't think Upanishads talk about creation. That is, different Upanishads present different Srishti. That is why in all the Upanishads, Srishti is not the same. If it is real, if it is a fact, creation is real, then all the Upanishads should present what? The same, isn't it? Same Srishti, the method of creation must be what? The same. One Upanishad differently, other Upanishad differently, it can't be. How do you make gulab jamun? Means all of them will give the same recipe. They can't say differently. No, no, I made differently. You can't say that. So the method of, isn't it, the creation must be the same in all the Upanishads, if it is real. But Upanishads present different, you know, different ways of presenting the creation. Why? Because it's mainly for negation, not for establishing the creation. Therefore, now first he has to negate the Sankhya philosopher, pointing out these four defects. If you do not know the basic principles of Sankhya philosopher, then you cannot even understand how these defects are shown. That's why, even before we enter into the study of the Karikas, I just mentioned the basic principles. Quickly, let's read this. Karanam yasya vai karyam. Karanam tasya jayate.
Karanam tasya jayate.
Jayamanam kathamajam.
Jayamanam kathamajam.
Bhinnam.
Bhinnam.
Nityam kathanchatat.
Nityam kathanchatat.
First he says, see, we have to understand here. He doesn't say, we have to understand ourselves. Okay, from here, 11, 12, 13, 3 verses are for refuting Sankhya philosopher's view of creation. See, yasya karanam, yasya karanam vaikaryam. What does the first sentiment? Yasya karanam vaikaryam. Of course, any cause of any effect is indeed an effect from the standpoint of its own cause. Therefore, there is no such a thing called absolute cause. Whatever I have said now, you understood from what? The one quarter of the Karika. The next, Karanam tasya jayate. Therefore, any cause has beginning. Any cause has a beginning. It has a beginning means what? It is not eternal, timeless. Any cause has a beginning. Therefore, any cause will have an end also. Therefore, any cause is anityam. It is not, can't be nityam. Why? Because any cause has its own cause. Therefore, every cause is relative. Understand? Every cause is relative. Because it has its own cause. There is no such a thing called absolute cause. But what should you say here? They are saying, yad karanam tad யத்யத் காரணம் தத்தத் அனித்யம் ஓகே காரியத்வாத். எவ்ரி காஸ் அண்ட் எனி காஸ் இஸ் அன் எஃபெக்ட் நான் இட்டர்னல் பிகாஸ் எவ்ரி காஸ் இஸ் அன் எஃபெக்ட். எவ்ரி காஸ் எனி காஸ் இஸ் நான் இட்டர்னல் பிகாஸ் எவ்ரி காஸ் ஆர் எனி காஸ் இஸ் அன் எஃபெக்ட் ஃப்ரம் தி ஸ்டாண்ட் பாயிண்ட் ஆஃப் இட்ஸ் ஓன் காஸ். யத்யத் காரணம் தத்தத் அனித்யம் காரியத்வாத். Got it? But what he established in the first sentence. But what do you say? Karanam is nityam. Which means you say karanam is absolute. Next. Jayamanam katham ajam. Therefore, every cause happens to be the effect from the standpoint of its own cause. Every cause happens to be a relative cause. Being an effect, it has a beginning. Therefore, it is non-eternal. But what do you say? Katham ajam. Therefore, the cause which has a beginning as an effect, isn't it? Like any cause, as an effect from its own cause, having to be born, how can you say it is beginningless, eternal? Katham ajam bhavati. Ajam here means how do you say it is nityam? How do you say cause is beginningless? Got it? What the main point here to understand is he does not deny the cause. He denies the very, there's no such thing called absolute cause. Understand? Then, nityam katham chatat. Then how do you say it is nityam? How do you say it is eternal? So it is not possible for the Sankhya philosopher to say that cause is eternal because any cause is non-eternal because any cause is an effect from relative, from the standpoint of its own cause. This is the first he negates. Okay? Later on, காரணாத் யஜ்ஜனன்யத்வம் அத காரியமஜம் தவ காரியமஜம் தவ ஜாயமானாதி வை காரியாத் காரணம் தே கதம் த்ருவம். So first he said, therefore, if you say the cause is eternal and the effect is nothing but the cause, and if you say effect is non-eternal, is it? It is a contradiction. Therefore, first we saw karya nityatva doshaha, the cause or effect also must be eternal. Now, the second he says here, karanad yad yananyatvam ataha karyam ajamtava. If we say, if the cause is nothing but the cause, effect is nothing but the cause, if the cause is eternal, then the effect also must be eternal. But you say what? Effect is non-eternal. But the first line, he points out the karya nityatva doshaha. The second line, he establishes the karana anityatva doshaha. The karanadhi vai காரிய ஜாயமானாத்தி வை காரியாத் காரணம் தே கதம் த்ருவம். இஃப் தி இஃபெக்ட் இஸ் நான் இட்டர்னல் தென் தி காஸ் ஆல்சோ மஸ்ட் பி நான் இட்டர்னல் பர் காரண அனித்யத்வ தோஷா இசன்ட் இட் இஸ் மென்ஷன்ட் இன் தி செகண்ட் லைன். சோ காரிய நித்யத்வ தோஷா இன் தி ஃபர்ஸ்ட் லைன், காரண அனித்யத்வ தோஷா இன் தி செகண்ட் லைன், விச் மீன்ஸ் one cause cannot be eternal, effect cannot be non-eternal. Either both must be eternal or both must be non-eternal. But you are not able to, you cannot establish that. These two defects, okay? The next one. Ajadvai jayate yasya. Drishtantastasya nastivai. Jatacha. Jayamanasya. Navyavastha prasajyate. So here again, ajadvai jayate. Ajadvai jayate means the effect is, the cause is ajam. Cause is non-it. Cause is eternal. And the effect is non-eternal. Isn't it? For this, which means the cause must be, cause this the absolute. So for which he cannot give, there is, no, he cannot give an example. Drishtantaha tasya nastivai. Drishtantaha means there is no, not even one example at all here which is available to establish that something is the absolute cause. Can you give one example here? So he says, tasya drishtantaha nasti means what? There is no example, no illustration available here which he can produce to establish the cause being the eternal, absolute, means beginningless. Which means the cause should be what? Should not have a beginning. Absolute cause is that which does not have beginning. If the cause should not have beginning, it should not have cause of its own. Isn't it? Can you show one thing here which is uncaused, causeless cause? Understand? Which is not an effect. Uncaused, causeless, if cause which is not an effect is the absolute cause. How do you understand what is the absolute cause? The uncaused, causeless cause which is not an effect, therefore which does not have a beginning, is the absolute eternal cause. He says he cannot give even one example. Tasya drishtantaha na vidyate. There is no example available here. Therefore what? How does he arrive at this conclusion? He doesn't add. That's why, see, Mandukya Upanishad, you know, the language of the Mandukya Upanishad, the Karikas, Gaudapada Acharya's Karikas, you know, is very different. It is not, you can't really easily understand the language. The language sounds very simple, but what he implies there, the presentation of the language is very different. You know, always the time changes, isn't it? The style of the language, what conveys the language is very different because it's much earlier. Shankara Bhagavatpada's teacher's teacher. Therefore, we had to, the language is very different thanks to Bhagavatpada's commentary through which you try to understand everything. See, what he means here is not even one drishtantaha, one example here available, presented by him, to say that there is an absolute cause. That is, the eternal means what? Absolute. Absolute means what? The cause which is not an effect alone is an absolute cause, which cannot have beginning. Which means it must be uncaused, causeless cause. Therefore, he cannot give even one example. Like to say that every cause is an effect, every cause is selective, we can give so many examples. Whereas he cannot give even one example to say that something is absolute cause. So cause is relative. And if you ask this, he'll say, when you, without giving any perceptual data, how is it possible for you to arrive at this conclusion? And he'll say, through inference, it is not there, okay? It is not, we have to understand the two teachings. It is, you can't find from these verses. I arrive at this conclusion through inference means, that's called what? How can you arrive at the conclusion through inference and say you're arriving at it through inference without giving any perceptual data? Therefore, it is illogical. It's called what? Yukti Virodha Doshaha. Is mentioned where now? In the first line of the verse. I know it's time, but I want to finish it quickly. Because already I told you, because the language is very different from other Upanishads, listen, I want to give you the contention, the content of these verses before. I don't want to forget it, and I don't want you to lose the touch. What I've said is not outside of these verses. We have to see the connections. Then the next line, jatacha jayamanasya na vyavastha prasajyate. So, na vyavastha prasajyate, the second line actually points out the anavastha dosha, the fourth defect. The problem of infinite regression. Even if you accept, then later on when he accepts, okay, you are saying that my conclusion, which I've arrived at through inference, without giving any perceptual data, and if you think it is wrong, okay, let me accept my cause as what? Relative. Still, I want to say there's a cause. But he can't say, go back in his words, so there's no cause he can't say. He still has to say what? Yes, there is a cause, I can accept, the cause is relative. Which means, if you say cause is relative, he has to say, what is its cause? And then he has to say, go to prove what is the other cause. He has to go to what is other cause. Then he'll end up in what? With the problem of infinite regression. And this is called, which means he can never establish. It's called problem of infinite regression. It's called anavastha doshaha. That's what avastha na prasajyate. The refutation of Sankhya philosopher's view is over with this verse. He's not going to spend any more time on refuting Sankhya philosopher. So we can say, Sankhya Mata Nirasaha. Sankhya Mata Kandanam. Mean what? Negation or refutation of Sankhya Matam. Sankhya's view. Matam itself means what? Contention. View. And a view is subject to differ from person to person. But what about a fact? Contention is not a fact. Understand? Therefore, fact is that which is not subject to differ from person to person. That is a view or contention subject to differ from person to person. So, Advaitam is not a view or contention of a given person's buddhi. It's a fact. Whereas, any matam, that is why we say Advaitam is not a matam. Even though people say Advaita philosophy, to be frank, it is a fact. Okay? So, fact must be available for verification also. Anyway, so next we'll see. Now, with the next, hereafter, he is going to negate he is going to put all the philosophers of different contentions, but all of them are Dvaitis. Okay? Other Dvaita philosophers, a group of philosophers. They all have different theories of creation, but to present their creation, they hold on to one thing. What is the basis holding on to which they are going to establish their theory of creation? Law of karma. So now, next he is going to negate. Okay, we'll see next class. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.